Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Hot potato, hot potato. Potato, 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 potato. Cold spaghetti. I will not sing you the whole song. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party. I'm your host, Brandon Knight, and today I am here to review Hot Potato starring Jim Kelly. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. But every once in a while, an episode will go over that 30 minutes or less mark. And when that happens, I have to take on a challenge to repay my debt and restore my honor so that way I may be the podcast host with the most amount of honor. And here I am already repaying a new debt because the coming soon 2026 edition of the show was very long because I had a lot to say about a certain movie. And so my challenge off the back end of it was to do a double episode drop. So rub your eyes. You're not seeing double, folks. Wait, you are. You are seeing double. You got two episodes here today. So make sure you check out both of them. Black Samson just came out before this episode. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, go check it out. Anyway, I'm here today once again to talk about Hot Potato starring Jim Kelly. This movie was part of a Blaxploitation DVD set that I have that includes Black Samson, Black Belt Jones, and Three the Hard Way. So now I've watched all of them before, but now I have reviewed the entire pack for the show. I feel very accomplished. Pats himself on the back loudly. Maybe some of that came through the mic, I don't know. But glad to have gotten it done, feel oddly accomplished for it. It's interesting, though, having reviewed both of these back-to-back, I mentioned in my review of Black Samson that the first time I watched it, I remember not really caring for it, you know, when I sat down to watch it the second time. Hot Potato, I didn't really remember much about other than one very particular scene where they're using a remote control police car as a distraction. My opinions on these two movies, though, has completely swapped. Black Samson actually is not too bad. Again, if you haven't listened to that one yet, make sure you should definitely check that out at some point so that way you can hear the full review. But the I walked away liking it, whereas now I am convinced that Hot Potato is the worst film in this pack. It wasn't good. It was not very good. So this movie is actually the sequel to Black Belt Jones, which I reviewed probably about this time last year, I think is when I sat down to do that one. And in both films, Jim Kelly plays a man named Jones, who's kind of this like gun for hire for the government to do specific missions and cases that because of jurisdiction or police oversight, like they're not going to be able to get their hands into it too much. So Jim Kelly is kind of the way they go around things. And so that's the case here with Hot Potato, where Jim Kelly is brought in with a few other guys to rescue a general's daughter who has been taken capture by this. I don't even know if they really say what they're supposed to be. It looks like that stereotypical underground militia that's training in martial arts and weapons, similar to what we saw in Phantom Raiders. This is actually like a really common thing that is used in martial art movies. This is a pretty common like film setup of, you know, someone is taken captured by this like militia group that's training in martial arts, and the hero has to go rescue this person and bring down this militia group. That's a pretty common setup. So Both Black Belt Jones and Hot Potato are written by a man named Oscar Williams, who actually also serves as director here on the film as well. So it's a duology. Maybe it's a duology, because there was actually another movie made after Hot Potato called The Tattoo Connection that stars Jim Kelly and was marketed in the United States as Black Belt Jones 2, kind of going around the whole Hot Potato as the direct follow-up sequel. It is worth pointing out, though, that Oscar Williams has no connection with the film whatsoever. And in this movie, and in The Tattoo Connection, Jim Kelly plays a man named Lucas. To be fair, his full name could be Lucas Jones, but it is a duology with maybe a third film. Maybe. I'll probably watch it and review it at some point in time in the future, but whether this is actually part of the canon Jones cinematic universe is left to be determined. Some people cite Hot Potato as the ceremonial end of the blaxploitation genre's mainstream popularity and the beginning of the kung fu movie genre pop culture popularity. Let's clarify a few things with that statement. First off, there will be blaxploitation films that continue to come out after Hot Potato. I mean, even still to this day, we get spoofs, or you get spoofs like Black Dynamite, or some people would say that the Michael B. Jordan film Sinners is an example of a modern post-blaxploitation film. Not every film starring black people in a leading role and predominantly black cast is a blaxploitation film. There's other genre tropes and factors that go into determining that, but Sinners is sometimes used as an example of a modern post-70s blaxploitation film. So there will be films coming out after Hot Potato, and naturally, there were kung fu films before Hot Potato. I just told you one, Black Belt Jones. Also, the entirety of Bruce Lee's film catalog. Like, there was already movies. Kung Fu Theater was already a popular thing here in the States. What we're looking at here is the mainstream appeal of one to the other. And if that is the case, I would like to petition somebody to get a better example, because this is where, for me, Hot Potato kind of stops being a decent movie. Don't get me wrong, it's watchable. It's not insufferable. The fight sequences are really good. I read that Jim Kelly actually had creative control over his fight choreography, and beyond him, you even move on to the rest of the supporting cast, because everybody was kung fu fighting in this movie. Everyone seems to know some martial art. Even the supporting roles all had really good, believable-looking fight scenes. Even the comic relief guy has, like, kind of a pseudo, like, sumo match slash, you know, like, brawl thing at one point with another big dude. The comedic relief in this movie really reminded me of Jean-Claude Van Damme's friend in Bloodsport, the guy with the beard who was also in Revenge of the Nerds. I can't think of that guy's name right now, but he was kind of a similar kind of character in different actor, but similar kind of character here in Hot Potato. But the difficulty I have with this movie is that I think it's the mainstream aspect of it. I'm sounding a little bougie here, and maybe a white guy shouldn't sound bougie when talking about a blaxploitation film, I don't know, or the genre itself, I don't know. Maybe that's probably not my place, to be honest, but especially when it comes to the kung fu side, I know I can maybe speak a little bit more towards that. this is a Warner Brothers film, and it's quite evident that this is like a mainstream film. It feels fundamentally different from a film like Drunken Master or Fist of Fury or Foxy Brown or Three the Hard Way. Like there's like a vibe, you know, there's an it factor there that it just is kind of missing. Yeah, it has a funky soundtrack, which is, you know, a staple of the genre. It's got Jim Kelly in it. You know, like I just said, the fight sequences in this movie are very good. Like it has the mainstream appeal, I would say. Like if you had never seen a kung fu movie by this point or a blaxploitation film, I could see someone watching this and being like, oh, I understand this genre now. And like, especially on the kung fu movie side of things, this would be one of those movies where, like, if somebody said, oh, this is my favorite one, like, but you grew up watching, like, kung fu theater, I'm talking, like, specifically in the 70s, because nobody nowadays is going to say, I would assume nobody nowadays is going to say this movie is their favorite kung fu movie, but, like, in the 70s, if somebody said that, but you were like a person who grew up watching kung fu theater and you're used to watching like Shaw Brothers, Golden Harvest movies, yeah, you're gonna laugh at them because this movie is like, it's so just basic when it comes, well, basic's not even like the right word, because Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, that was pretty basic when it came to the like combat aspects of it, but it was still like, that is even something I would say is more of a kung fu movie. A movie made in part by a British horror company feels more kung fu than what Warner Brothers did with Hot Potato. The best part of the movie is that at one point, Jim Kelly's riding an elephant. That was in my Letterboxd review. It was like, that was the best part. He's riding an elephant and it just kind of looks cool. But it does just seem to be a movie where it's just kind of, it's going through the motions of what it knows it should be. It's kind of like when current people write Christmas songs, or, you know, to appeal to the Christians listening, you know, the big, you know, churches who write worship songs, where it's basically like, we're just going to take the words that we all know that we need to say in songs, you know, Jesus, sleigh ride, jingle bells, you know, we're just going to take the words that we usually say in all of the songs and just kind of rearrange them differently. That's kind of just how it felt with this movie. It was like, we know the pieces that we need to like check the box. That's what I'm looking for. We know what we need to check the box to say, yeah, this is a blaxploitation kung fu film, but it definitely like doesn't feel that way. And if anything, there's a third ingredient that is very obvious in this movie that I would say is actually what this movie is, and that is a goofy 70s spy film. That's what this movie is. It's silly spy espionage with a funky soundtrack and good fight scenes. And honestly, that makes the movie better. That, to me, that makes it a little bit better if they would have leaned more into the, because this is the 70s. Like, Roger Moore is Bond by this point, I'm pretty sure at least. Yeah, I just pulled it up. So this is the Roger Moore era of Bond films. I mean, it starts here. What's his first one? Live and Let Die. Great movie. 1973, and Hot Potato came out in 76. So this is like, it definitely vibes, the vibe check is more of a, this is trying to be a spy film, which is fine, just commit to the bit is all I'm gonna say. It's like they should have just went a little bit more into it, throw some goofy spy gadgets in there, throw some ninja, well, they kind of did put ninjas in there. The bad guys have like this task force of fighters that show up at one point that seriously look like Power Rangers. They're all wearing black uniforms that kind of make them look like Power Rangers. So strike that, reverse it. But the There's this one scene, like, dead center of the movie. There's Jim Kelly and two other guys who are on this mission, and three women end up joining the mission throughout the movie. So naturally, right around the halfway point, there's a hot scene where they're all kissing. Everyone's kissing. The men are all kissing the women. They're not passing the women around. I've totally messed this part up, but I'm not going to. Each guy has a girl, and they're in different parts of this jungle all making out. I think that is what I'm trying to say. Enjoy that flub that I just had for a whole minute. But it's just like this long, drawn out. This movie is just under an hour and a half. And I think if you would have cut this scene down a little bit, you would have gotten to like the hour 20 minute mark. Like it's like this long sequence running, you know, Jim Kelly and his girl are like swimming in a river, splashing each other, just that kind of stuff. And this is an important time to take everybody back to Black Belt Jones, which also was a Warner Brothers film, but at least it was set in an urban environment, which I think helped the vibe check a little bit with that movie. But of course, with that review, the oversimplification is that I really liked it until about the halfway point when the notorious beach scene happened, and it suddenly became this like goofy 70s beach movie, and then just kind of continued to jump the shark from there through the rest of the movie. It's like mainstream movie studios shouldn't try to make B films. There's an idea. Or if we're going to make a B film, only Robert Rodriguez should be allowed to touch it. So it's a goofy spy film, and it does the goofiness well. I think if you are listening to this and you're like, okay, maybe I'll go check this movie out. One, just so you know, according to my research, this movie is only available to buy or rent on those kinds of, like, you know, Google, YouTube, Amazon, Apple. Like, I didn't see any. I surprisingly didn't see this movie readily available for free anywhere. At least at the recording of this episode, that could have changed. The market of where films are constantly moving around. So who knows? Maybe by this point, when you're listening to it, it's available, easier to find. But right now, it was only behind a paywall for some reason. But I think if you go into this thinking I'm watching a spy movie, you'll actually enjoy it more than I did. Because it just has all these like spy things, you know, there's the overly romantic, you know, love sequence. There's the villain has a pit of tigers that he throws people into, which just feels very just 70s Bond film villain to do. But the most egregious thing about this movie that made me go, this is a goofy spy film, is the fact that during these awesome fight scenes that were so well choreographed, anytime any of the villains went flying, so, you know, someone does a throw, somebody gets kicked through, you know, a cart, a stand, or whatever, there was this Hanna and Barbera sound effect, whoop, 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 like just those like old school cartoon sound effects, woo kind of thing. If I had a soundboard, I would just like put those sounds in at this point. I don't have those things. Hold on a second. Okay, let's see if I can find any of them. Here we go. That would be a good example. Okay, we gotta pause that. I don't have time to play a 5 minute long video for you all. Yeah, just kind of like any of those kind of like goofy Hanna and Barbera sound effects was like used throughout the fight scenes to indicate people are going flying through the air. Like, I can't tell that they're flying through the air. And it's not gonna work for me. It's gonna be a no for me, dog. Like, if it was like a goofy spy film, I'm all for it. But given what this movie is sometimes communicated to be, no, it is not. It is not a blaxploitation film. It's barely a kung fu movie. It's a goofy spy film starring Jim Kelly, and that's fine. If it was that, we would have a different story here. I would have a much better review for you all, and, you know, it just needed more gadgets. If that's what they wanted to go with, they just needed more gadgets to make it work. But that's all I really have to say about that movie. So, I mean, I already own a copy of it. Would I watch it again? I mean, I guess to be fair to it, since I liked it the first time and I really don't remember why I liked it, and now I don't, it's split. So I guess I would watch it again at some point to see, now that I'm like very much in the frame of mind of like, okay, this is a goofy spy movie, if that helps at all. But there was like whole sequences of this movie where I was watching and I like have no memory of it. Like I don't, it just was, it, the whole thing was fine. It was fine. There's like this whole weird subplot with the comic relief guy having a son. Like it's a no for me, dog. But I guess if you're willing to spend the money, or if you somehow stumble across it another way, you can watch it and let me know what you think of the film. But that's it. So thank you all for listening to today's episode. Challenge has been completed. Look at me go. Look at me go. I have two more that I need to complete, actually still from 2025. I have to learn the kata that Hilary Swank does in the next Karate Kid. And I have to create a cosplay based off of a character from K-pop Demon Hunters. I should really start getting the pieces together for that. I have confirmed that it is not Derpy Tiger, but you're going to have to wait to see who it ends up being, because I don't want to tell you who it is and what outfit I'm doing, and then I'm not able to pull it off. So... we'll see. But thanks again for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please pass this episode along to a friend, which you probably haven't done. Flub that line too. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend who you think would enjoy it. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network, like my sister show, My Seminary Life. There's also the Whole Church Podcast in Systematic Ecology. We have a whole plethora of different things for you to listen to. I think by this point, I was a guest on the Whole Church Podcast very recently, talking about both shows, Kung Fu Pizza Party and My Seminary Life, what happened in 2025, and some things that are going to be coming up in 2026. And Christian Ashley and Joshua Knoll are obviously both on the show as well, talking about what the other shows are up to here on Anazao. Because when you get the three of us together into the room, you basically have every show covered. So if you just want to kind of hear what's been going on, or what will be going on the network broadly, definitely check it out. We got some cool stuff in the works across the board. And you can also follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, Letterboxd Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. And you can check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, A Place for Faith and Pop Culture. That's it for me. Thanks again for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I have definitely delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.